Okay, we want to continue our series on studying the Bible. We've broken this up into different segments. Each segment we've spent much time on. The first segment was the call throughout the Word of God to study the Bible. The second was the importance of studying the Bible. The third was our approach to studying the Bible. And our fourth was the method, our method of study. Today we want to begin the longest of these segments, and that is observation and interpretation. Observation and interpretation. Again, our method of study must be precise. It must involve very precise observation. It's not speed reading. It's not just glancing. It is precise observation, and this is absolutely necessary to correct or to accurate interpretation. You know, people will say all the time, well, that's your interpretation. Well, if you observe words, and you carefully observe words, most of the Scripture, there's only one possible interpretation. It's when you start taking out words or adding words in or can't get away from your own prejudices, that's when you have a problem with the literal interpretation of Scripture. But as we've said many times, observation discovers what a passage says. And that's where we have to begin. We have to begin with, what does it say? What does it say? And again, if you observe words and you take words for what they mean, it's not difficult to see what something says. You may not like what it says, but observation is, again, you're observing, you're recognizing, this says this. Once we establish that, what a passage says, now we can make an interpretation. Again, the Bible, as we've said many times also, the Bible is not for us to determine meaning. God's already determined that. God's already determined the meaning. What is our responsibility is to discover meaning. And to me, that's interpretation. It is the discovering of meaning. But you cannot discover what something means if you don't first observe what it says. So, observation and interpretation. Both of these, observation, interpretation, involve understanding. We have to understand. You have to understand the basic meaning of words. And we realize truth, God gives understanding. But at the same time, we realize that if, even without the Spirit of God, just to read a verse of Scripture, and if you have any knowledge of what words mean, you have some understanding what it says. You may not understand the urgency of it, but you have some understanding of what it says. Psalm 119, verse 27, and the psalmist prayed this prayer all through the 119th Psalm. He said, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. And if we're going to observe what something says, we have to understand it. If we're going to discover what something means, we have to understand. He prayed the same thing in verse 34, again in verse 73. Give me understanding. That ought to be one of our prayers every time we open the Word of God. Lord, give me understanding. Remove every prejudice that I have concerning the Word of God. Remove it all from me and give me understanding. Get me out of the little box that we put ourselves in many times when studying the Word of God, and Lord, give me understanding. So, observation, interpretation involves understanding. Now, we must take great care that we never distort meaning of a verse of Scripture. And this, of course, necessitates precise and persistent observation. There's some things we need to observe, and we'll get into all of these at a later date. We have to observe words. Nothing more important in reading than words. And, you know, for someone to say, well, that's just a word. Well, every word has a job, every word has a function, and every word has a place. So we have to observe words. We put words together. When we put words together, there becomes a phrase. We have to observe phrases. You put words together, there's structure. Any book you read, there's a structure to that book. The author has a structure. It's no different with the Word of God. There's a structure. You have to observe the structure. You have to observe context. How do you do that? By observing words. How do you observe structure? By observing words. How do you observe phrases? By observing words. You can't get away. I mean, if you read, you can't get away from words. You have to observe content. So what is observation? Observation is the art of taking notice. It means that you take notice of words. You take notice of what it says. And really, it is an art, because most people read and they do so without taking careful notice. It means that we behold what we're reading, we behold the words, and we do so with attention. We do so with focus. It's the act of seeing things as they are. Most people do not see things as they are. They see things through their own prism. They see things through their own imagination. They don't see things as they really are. And that's why if you have six people observe the same thing, you'll get six different accounts many times. And one reason for that is because people don't see things as they are. Another reason you might get different accounts is because people focus on different things of what happened. And they may be accurate in their account, but they just focus on different things. Certain things stand out. But observation is the art of seeing things as they are. And when the Word of God makes a plain statement, we need to see things as they are. That's observation. Observation, of course, is not just seeing, but it's being aware of what is said. It's grasping what is said. It's comprehending what is being said. So our observation must be precise. It must be persistent. And that will help us if we concentrate on just observing what it says. That is a safeguard against you and I inserting our own thinking. I mean, it's pretty dangerous when you see what the Word of God says and then you say, well, but I think. That's pretty dangerous. That's a dangerous road to go down. We see that just observing what it says, seeing things as they are, is a safeguard against inserting our own thinking, inserting our own prejudices, inserting our own ideas into a passage. You do not determine what something says before you read it. That's dangerous, because you will insert your thoughts. And this is why, I mean, we're to be doctrinally sound. We are to be theologically sound, but you can put yourself in such a theological box that you don't really observe what it says. You look at it through the prism of what you believe. And that's dangerous. Observation is a safeguard against that. Now, if we do not insert our own thinking, we do not insert our own prejudices, we do not insert our own ideas, that helps us in not taking away what it does say. It helps us in not adding to what it does not say. We need to be careful of adding to what God's Word doesn't say. I believe the silence of Scripture is just as important as what it says. And people get caught up on the silence of Scripture. Well, God's Word doesn't say that, but I think this. Well, if God's Word doesn't say it, it really doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. There's a reason God is silent on certain things. It's because we don't need to know. If we needed to know, God wouldn't be silent upon it. And there's a few doctrines that come to mind. I'm not going to mention them right now because that's not the purpose, but there's a few things that come to my mind immediately that I believe the Word of God is silent on, but there are people who have very, very strong opinions. They think it's beliefs based on Scripture, but Scripture doesn't say anything. And they invent their own theology, and that's dangerous. It's erroneous. So we must have safeguards against we must not add to what's not there. We must simply observe what is there. Do not take away from what is there. All Bible study, and I mean all Bible study, should be an exegesis, which simply means a drawing out from. We're to draw out from what it says. It's not for you and I to put in what it doesn't say. It's for you and I to draw out what it does say. And that should be true of all Bible study. Again, it's truly amazing how many people read the Bible without observing, without truly observing what it says. Being oblivious and unobservant when reading the Word of God is a habit. It's a learned habit, and it's a bad habit. And likewise, meticulous observation is also a learned habit. And we need to learn that habit to precisely observe what it says. You know, people say, I've read that verse 100 times and I never saw that one word. Well, that's really truly amazing. It really is. But it says something. It says, how many other verses do we read and not see a word? It's because we just scan, and we need to scrutinize. We need to be very, very precise. In our observation, we're going to look at 3 things that we need to observe. And we'll treat each of these separately. Need to observe the whole. Need to observe the parts, and we need to observe the details. And observing the whole, that's just an overview. And that's where we'll start. Observing the parts, you're beginning to look at the framework of a verse or a passage. And observing the details, now you're looking at the content of what is really being said. And we'll begin with the observation of the whole. We're going to spend most of the time, the majority of the time, on observation of details. It'll be a little while before we get there, but that's where we're going to spend the most of our time, the observing of details. But first of all, we have to observe the whole. The Word of God contains 66 books, 1,189 chapters. That's a lot of chapters. Contains 31,102 verses, 788,280 words. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of words. Keeping all that in mind, everything in the Word of God has its proper place. Every word has its proper place, and it all relates to the whole. It all relates to the whole. By observation of the whole, we mean an overview, a general observation of a verse or passage of Scripture. It's what we see by just reading a verse without stopping. The sad, we need to do that. We need to make a general observation. The sad part is, most people, that's where they stop, just making general observations. You'll never really learn the Word of God just making general observations. But there does need, that being said, there does need to be a general overview. And what I mean by that is just reading a verse through without stopping. The observation of the whole is looking for the plain sense of what is written. Again, it gets back to observing what it says. It is looking for that which is obvious. I mean, just reading a verse of Scripture, plain through, there, straight through, there are certain things that are just obvious. Reading something, people, places, events, these things become obvious just reading a verse through. Observing and identifying the obvious makes the other parts more clear. Again, I believe the best way to study, let's just say you're going to study a verse or five verses. Read them through seven, eight, ten times, however many. Just read it through. Each time you read it through, write down what you observe. Don't stop. Just read it through. Write down your observations. There are things that just reading it through you will observe, just like reading any other book, just like reading a newspaper. If you just read it through, there are certain things that you're going to just observe. And you write those things down. Then as you start observing parts and you start observing details, now you're going to observe things that you didn't see when you just read it straight through without stopping. So observing and identifying the obvious makes everything else more clear, makes everything else more easily understood, just like a detective. A detective looks for obvious clues before looking for the more minute clues. They will move on to the more minute clues, but the first thing they're going to do is look for the obvious. I mean, it's a horrible thing to get stuck in the minute and not see what's right in front of you. So we have to observe the obvious. That's a observing the whole. Again, reading a passage straight through, there should be an initial impression. There should be a general feel and sense of the subject matter. You get a general sense of what is being talked about. There should be a general observation of the major facts. Again, as we've said many times, you can see a lot just by looking. But you have to look. You have to look. And when it comes to the Word of God, we need to look. The purpose of a general observation, again, everything in the Word of God has its proper place. Everything in the Word of God relates to the whole, relates to the context of the entire book. And it is always to put, it's always easier to put everything in its proper place when you have a general overview of the whole. We liken it to working a jigsaw puzzle. The wise thing to do is to look at the picture on the box before you put a single piece together, before you even separate the pieces. Look at the picture on the box. And by so doing, you get an immediate idea of the subject matter of the puzzle. You have a general idea. And the more you observe that box, the more it becomes implanted in your mind, the more you're able to visualize, it's important to look at the picture on the box. It would be difficult to work a puzzle without ever seeing the picture on the box. It'd be much more, not saying it's not possible to work it, but it'd be much more difficult because you have no idea where the pieces go. But looking at the picture on the box, you get a general idea. The red pieces go over here, the green pieces go over here, the blue pieces go up here. You get a general idea of where the pieces go. And that's true when studying the Word of God. And that's what we mean by an observation of the whole. An observation of the whole is simply looking at the picture on the puzzle box, reading a verse of Scripture through, and making general observations. We do this in preparation for putting the pieces together. Again, just like working a jigsaw puzzle, you look at the picture on the box. You do that in preparation for putting the pieces together. That's true when studying the Word of God. One obtains a general idea of the subject matter by looking at the picture in the box. By just reading verses straight through, we get a general idea of what is being said. But we should never settle for just a general idea. I mean, how many people look at the picture on a puzzle box and then put it up on the shelf in the closet for the next 20 years? Well, I looked at the picture. Well, what was the purpose of that? The purpose of looking at the picture is to prepare yourself to put the pieces together. Don't ever settle for just a general idea of what the Scriptures say. That would be the same as just looking at the picture in the puzzle box and settling for that. By looking at the picture or observing the whole, initial impressions are made. We begin to become familiar with the subject matter. We begin to become familiar with what is being spoken of. And we obtain a general idea again of where everything fits. So observation of the whole is very, very important. And we'll get to how we do that next week. But again, the key is to observe. You have to see what it says. What does it say? You say, well, that's what it says, but I don't agree with it. Well, you need to take that up with the Lord. But you need to observe what it says. And if you carefully observe, there's, for most of the Word of God, there's no debate on what it says. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What's it say? I mean, it's pretty plain. Thou shalt not steal. Again, we go on and on. There's no debate on what it says. There may be debate on whether you agree with it, but there's no debate on what it says. Jesus wept. What's that mean? It means Jesus wept. It means what it says. Observe what it says. And you can't get away. And if you're discussing the Word of God with somebody who just refuses to believe truth, don't let them get away with not admitting what it says. This is what it says. You tell me what it says. I mean, that's what it says. How can you interpret that any differently? So we need to observe. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to read your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Bibles that you've given us. And we just pray now that you would help us to worship you in a way that would be for your honor, for your glory. If there be any lost amongst us, Lord, we pray that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.